You take your seat, if you'll turn with me to our scripture text this morning, which is taken from the epistle of Paul to the Philippian church. So on page number 1827 in your pew Bibles, if you want to turn to it there, Philippians, I'll be reading verses 3 through 11 of chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 11. And it's on page number 1827 in your pew Bibles. Listen as I read from God's holy word. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You have a sermon notes outline, by the way, on this manila colored insert. We're going to be screaming through this. Actually, we're going to try and keep up, and we'll see how we make out as we go along this morning. But I've been thinking, especially after Black Friday, shopping nightmares. You know, there's always something. Every year, it's something. A must-have, can't live without it, gotta have it thing. Retail stores can't keep it on the shelves. A Christmas gift fad, you know how it is. 32 years ago, remember 32? Well, some of you don't remember 32 years ago. But I remember because my oldest son was not yet born, and I was working at Sears in Pleasantville. It was 1983. Bev was pregnant with our first child, and we were living in Ocean City. And I remember back then the stir of the latest thing. In fact, on the news it said 5,000 people staged a near riot at Hill's department store in Charleston, West Virginia. Display tables were knocked over. People were shoving and pushing and grabbing one another. It got ugly. In Wilkes-Barre, PA, a woman's leg was broken when the crowd of 1,000 turned violent after waiting 8 hours for a Zales store to open. Armed with a baseball bat, the manager warned the crowd to stay back. Two disc jockeys in Milwaukee joked on the radio that a B-29 would fly over the county stadium and drop a certain cargo to people who held up catcher's mitts and American Express cards. And you know what? Several dozen people braved below zero temperatures in vain in hope for the manna from heaven, which was, anybody guess? Cabbage Patch Dolls. There you go. Cabbage Patch Dolls. I bought one. Because it was literally off the truck. I was unloading the truck, so I was the first to handle one. And before they sold out or even got on the shelves, I bought it for my wife or my baby who was going to be born in August. It was way ahead of the curve, but I had to have it since everybody else did. But you know how it is every year. Going back, I did some research. 1985, it was Pound Puppies. There you go. 1986, Teddy Ruxpin. 1990, and perhaps last year, it is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Who can live without them, right? 1991, Pogs. I think my kids still have, well, we still have the pogs that belong to my kids because they don't take their stuff home. But anyhow, pogs. 1995, Beanie Babies. 96, Tickle Me Elmo. 98, Furby. 2001, Bratz Dolls. 2002, iPod. 06, Wii. 07, Kindle. 07, Snuggies. There you go. 2011, I'm just skipping around here. 2011, Angry Birds Board Games. Okay. This year, what do you think? Yes. Swagway Hoverboards. Swagway or Swagway? I'm not sure which it is. Battery-operated skateboards. It'll only set you back an average of $400 to get one of those. And if you don't have $400, you can get a Star Wars The Force Awakens BB-8 droid, Android, like an R2-D2, well, updated. Check it out. Well, shopping can be a real pain for some of us. In fact, shopping at this time of year brings out the Grinch in me. It's a common frustration. What to give to whom? What are you going to get for the person who has it all? The hassle of hostile Christmas crowds and long checkout lines. I have a gift suggestion for you. It's a universal gift suggestion. A tremendous gift with universal appeal. One size fits all. It's a gift Jesus gave to us. Jesus gave us a pattern to follow. You can't buy it, but it'll cost you. Can't wrap it up. It's something within you, a new attitude. In these verses, the Bible says, have this attitude in you, is that which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 5. This Christmas, put on a new attitude that can be a gift that keeps on giving. The world will, it can mean the world to others. Humility, service. A servant's heart. This morning we're talking about seasoning your giving. Last week we talked about season your season's greetings with the reason for the season, flavoring your greetings with Christ, the full flavor of spiritual good news. This morning, our giving, season your giving as a sequel to season your greetings. The gift of selfless humility or unselfishness. Unselfish humility. Don't conform, do nothing from selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Not that we're being told in Scripture to put ourselves down, self-degradation. Rather, in place of self-elevation that comes so naturally, a puffed-up ego, focus on Jesus and focus on others. Notice Jesus seven steps downward in this passage. Jesus' model for us in selfless humility. First of all, in this passage it says he didn't consider equality with God a thing to be grasped or clutched onto or held onto. But secondly, he made himself nothing. Contrast to what we hear in this world, make something of yourself. Jesus said, he came to make himself nothing. Number three, taking on the very nature of a servant. The Lord of all didn't come to lord it over all. Number four, being made in human likeness. Mystery and miracle of the incarnation, Christmas time. He humbled himself. He wasn't humiliated by others. He humbled himself. He didn't make a fool of himself or humiliate himself. He humbled himself. Number six, became obedient to death. Number seven, even death on a cross. Downward mobility doesn't seem right. That's Jesus' gift to us. Jesus' gift wasn't cheap. It cost Him dearly. It cost Him His glory. So He set aside the glory of heaven. Only temporarily, He got it back. Just wait, you'll see. Cost Him His life, this gift. Christ-like humility, this gift of selfless humility. He taught His disciples, if anyone would come after Me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow Me. The gift of selfless humility. It's countercultural. Right? In our culture, this world says, well, Santa says, what do you want for Christmas? Thinking, how much can I get out of this? Christmas in America is often about greed and grasping, growing early on in hearts of our children. I read a marvelous little Christmas folk tale, perhaps like an Aesop's fable. It's about a rich baker who sent for 20 of the poorest children in his town, and he showed them a basket full of bread and said that each one of them could pick out a loaf for him and for his family, or her for her family. Immediately, the children began grabbing and snatching for the biggest loaves without even thanking the baker. There was a little girl named Gretchen, poorly dressed, waiting until all the bread had gone except for the last loaf, one loaf, the smallest loaf. She kissed the old baker's hand and went home as she took it. The next day, the children returned for more loaves of bread, and Gretchen waited again until all were gone except for the smallest of the loaves of bread. This time, however, when Gretchen's mother sliced open the small loaf of bread, she found many coins inside. Gretchen returned to the baker with the money, and the baker said, "No, my child, it is not a mistake. I put them in the smallest loaf as a reward for you." Have you heard that story before? Anybody heard that story? There you go. It's a great story for Christmas. The gift of humility. One size fits all. The gift of humble service that we can give. Jesus modeled it. The model of humble service. Jesus Himself taking on the very nature of a servant. Heaven's Prince became the King of Glory. Born in a barn. Born to a blue-collar family. The feeding trough for the animals, for a crib. Born to be our servant. The Prince and Lord of Life came to die that we might live forever. He's the model. The implication of that humble service is that our salvation cost Christ His place in line, so to speak. In fact, He willingly gave up His place in line to go to the end of the line. In Jesus' upside-down kingdom, it's been called by theologians, because the first shall be last and the last first, according to God's kingdom priority. The inescapable implication of the incarnation is that He became last to show us how. That's the implication of the incarnation. And the application of humble service that He left for us is the question that we should ask ourselves today. How can we serve others today? What can you do to help others get through till Christmas, right? Man, stressful time of year. Can I make it? Can I get there? Question is, what can you and I do to help others, to serve others? Look around you. Look around the house and pitch in so that no one is overwhelmed. I know some of the husbands are getting jabbed in the ribs there. Conviction by proxy, we call that. Look around. Look around the neighborhood. Do you have an elderly neighbor who needs errands run? Do some shopping. Look around the family. Offer Christian hospitality to visiting relatives. Look around the church. Is there a person who doesn't have a place to go on Christmas that you can invite to your Christmas dinner? Look around. The application for humble service. Worship is service. Worship is all about service. That's why we call it a worship service. Worship is not about what I can get out of Sunday mornings. It's what I can give. It's not about you and me. It's about Christ. It's not self-centered, self-preoccupied, self-absorbed time with Jesus. It's about my focus on Him. Centered on Christ. The reason for the season. Let our worship be service, and our giving as a part of that worship. Take a cue from the wise men of the East. They came from far away and laid their gifts before Jesus of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and they worshiped Him. This month, let's season our season with the reason for the season. Humility and service is a great gift. Season your giving with selflessness and love. The flavor of Christ. A new attitude within you as was within Christ Jesus. This Christmas, curb that natural reflex for grabbing and grasping with unselfish love. Challenge the natural inclination to try and impress others, but instead, bless others. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your gift of love, for Your self-sacrificial humility. You became nothing that we could become something in Christ. We thank You, Lord, for that gift of grace. We thank You for this season of grace. We thank You for the opportunity now to come and celebrate that grace as we come to Your table. In Jesus' name, amen.